Welcome to Barry Maguire's Tales from the Trenches, real life stories of Canadian real estate investors. Learn more at www.barrymaguire.ca.
This tale has it all. This tale has it all. We like to talk about the basics. There's lots and lots of odd, weird stories that show up in Tales from the Trenches, but mostly what shows up is the repeating basic mistakes that we all make, including me. Everybody makes basic mistakes. It's the basic situations that come up way more than the odd situations, so that's why we all step our foot in basic doo-doo. So it's all about the basics tonight, and by the basics, I mean something like last month we talked about timing. Timing's a basic. You should have a couple of weeks to accomplish your diligence, and then 30 days to close. That's an ideal kind of set of timing. And that's a basic. That's a basic. So this is a story about a member and his friend and family. So it not just has family or friends, it has friends and family in it. Gets a call from his good buddy who says, "Let's go for lunch." So they go for lunch, and his buddy says, "You know, my mom passed away, and we're all sorry about that. It's been a while. The estate's been probated. That half section of land that she owned, now it's in my name and my brother's name and my sister's name. Half section of land near Edmonton's got a house on it." And his buddy says, "My brother and sister don't want the land. I think it's got development potential. I think if we did a little work on it, if we marketed it, if we waited a while, we could make some real money here. But they don't want to wait. They want their money now. So they want out. Do you remember my cousin Joe?" Our member says, "Yeah, I remember Joe. He's about 15 years older than us, right?" "Yeah. Smart guy, business guy. Joe would like to get in on it. Do you want in?" Our member says, "Absolutely. Absolutely." So it costs them, I think it was $300,000 each, to buy out the brother and sister and acquire this half section of land with the house on it. So that's what they did. They acquired the half section of land. First thing he says to me is, "You know, we did it all on a handshake basis. We did it all on a handshake basis. The older cousin Joe says, I'm going to volunteer to take care of the books. I'll manage the property, you know, we'll rent out that house, get some rent from that. I'll find a farmer to lease the rest of the land. You know, I'll track the expenses and the income, and I'll take care of that." Everybody thinks that's great. So that's what they do. So they acquire the land, and the member says in his next paragraph, and it's repeated in this in your handout when you get it, he goes, Joe and my friend are on title. Of course, I had an assignment of proceeds, but I wasn't on the title." That's fine. On the title. About a year after they bought the place, somebody comes along and says, maybe it was a realtor like Jerry or any of you other realtors in the room, "I've got somebody who wants to buy. This is a developer who thinks he can do something with this half section of land, and he offers them $4 million for the half section. And he wants to put up about $1.2 or $1.3 million now if they'll carry the rest with a vendor take-back mortgage for the rest of the 4 years. It's pretty good interest. They check him out. He seems like a reliable guy." So that's what they do. They sell him the property, $1.2 million now, $2.8 to come in 4 years. And that's how the deal closes. As this deal closes and the deposit is releasable now, the deposit goes to Cousin Joe. I said, "Why doesn't it come to you?" He said, "Well, I wasn't on title." "Well, what about your friend? He was on title." He said, "I don't know. Maybe the lawyer sent it to the wrong person." I'm shaking my head for anybody listening to this on the CD. You know, when lawyers act for sellers, you always get folks to sign the direction to pay, which is the authority to the lawyer to do something with the money. Who am I going to pay the money? Pay the taxes, pay out the bank, pay my fees. There's some left over. What am I doing with it? Anyway, it all went to Cousin Joe. All went to Cousin Joe. Right about that time, Cousin Joe starts making noises about how much work he's doing, and shortly thereafter, he says to them, you know, I think I actually own 100% of the house and the 10 acres that surround the house in the middle of the 320 acres. And they go, how could that be? We're one-third, one-third, one-third here. He says, well, you know, I've been doing all this work, and he came up with some kind of paperwork that I didn't see and that wasn't described to me that supported his position to have 100% ownership in the house portion. So they argued about it and ended up saying, you know what, we think he's wrong, but we figure we'll work it out here. We're all friends. It's family. This is, should be a win-win situation. So, you know what? I guess that's the way it is for now. We'll work it out later. So Cousin Joe, I think, thought that was a pretty big success. And the next thing they hear is that he thinks that he should have a 50% ownership in the balance of the half section that isn't the house and the 10 acres. And they get 25% each. Again, they talk, Joe, I mean, it's one-third, one-third, one-third. Anyway, Joe comes up with more paperwork. I don't know where he's creating this from. I don't know how he can create it on his own to give himself an ownership interest. It's not even subdivided. But he does, and they talk some more, and they yick and they yak, but they don't come to any conclusion. And they say again, we really thought we could work it out. We could work it out. It's supposed to be win-win. We're family. I've known these guys forever. Now the 4 years is up, and they're kind of crossing their fingers that the developer is going to close, and he does. Comes up with the $2.8 million, and it's in the lawyer's trust account. Now this time, they're a little more careful, and they say to the lawyer, don't give out that money because we're having an argument about who should get what. They argue back and forth for 6 months. Closes in March. They argue for 6 months. They can't reach a decision. They call in a lawyer as a mediator to try and solve this problem. Lawyer sits everybody down in the room. They talk. Joe comes up with whatever paperwork he manufactured. All they've got is what they've said. They've got their words at the beginning. That's one-third, one-third, one-third. Joe has some paperwork. The lawyer says, well, you know, Joe's paperwork is sloppy, it's unprofessional, it's incomplete, but it more or less supports his position, and you guys don't have anything. So, my opinion is, if you sue each other and you're in front of a judge, the judge is going to has a better chance of finding for Cousin Joe and giving him what he says than he would be for you. So, in the end, they mull it over, they talk about it amongst themselves, and they decide not to launch the lawsuit. They decide to settle on the basis of Joe gets 100% of the house and the little bit of land, and 50% of the rest for the 320 acres. And that's what they do. Okay? Because now we're going to talk about them, and as we go through these, you can think to yourselves what you would have done in this circumstance, and I'll say what I think people could have done or how it could have gone, and then we'll count them up and we'll see where we go. So, where are we here? Do we have numbers? Lessons learned. All right, dealing with family and friends. To start with, it is always tough. It's always tough dealing with family and friends. It's easy to get started because you have a relationship. If our member had been tapped on the shoulder by a guy on the street saying, have I got a deal for you? We can make some money on this half section. He would have gone, whoa. He wouldn't have talked. But because it was his friend, they get right up to get going on it. So you can get into these things easily because of relationships, but then you can't solve them or get out of them easily because of the relationship. They don't want to sue their friends and relatives. These guys knuckled under because it was a family relationship and for other reasons. So, when you're dealing with family and friends, I say that you have to be more businesslike than you would be if you're dealing with somebody you don't know. And that's hard to do. Family and friends don't want to see the big joint venture agreement that's 18 pages long and deals with all the things that could come and go in a joint venture situation. I know they don't want to. But if you don't have something, how do you think these guys would feel about suing Cousin Joe on the basis of their well-thought-out joint venture when he's making this kind of malarkey at the end of the deal? They would have went, Joe, you are definitely off our Christmas card list, buddy. We are not sorting it out on that basis. So friends and family are tough. Greed. Money makes people do stupid things. Cousin Joe got stomped on, got bit, got dumped on by the great green god of greed here. He saw that he could make some money. He saw some young guys that he could influence, and he took total advantage of them because he was a greedy SOB. That's what happened here. We see it all the time in estates. Somebody dies and, you know, siblings who have been the best of friends for years go all crazy because there's some money to fight about in mom and dad's estate. So people get greedy and you have to recognize it and protect yourself because of it. What's next? Always consider getting professional advice. I'm a professional. People phone me up. You guys have on your team, hopefully, good lawyers, good accountants, good realtors, good appraisers, good mortgage brokers. You need those guys on your team. Should be able to phone up somebody on your team. And if our member had to phone me, it probably would have taken him 10 minutes to describe this. It's not really a complex situation. It's not a complex situation. It would have taken him 10 minutes, and I would have gone, whoa, dealing with family and friends. Whoa, no written agreement. Whoa, not on title. Whoa, no definition of managerial responsibilities and compensation. And, you know, after 2 minutes for me to say that, I would have said, man, don't do this unless you have it all nailed down tight. And for that, I wouldn't have charged anything for that because that's how I, for a 10-minute call and a 5-minute answer, I wouldn't have done anything like that or an email. But even if I did, what if I charged him $500 for the 15 minutes? And then he went, okay, Barry, you're right. Let's do a joint venture agreement. And let's say it wasn't the usual, you know, $1,500 or $2,500. Let's say it was $5,000 or $10,000. In the end, he lost, I think I have $700,000 on the screen, but he really lost $400,000. Each of them lost $400,000 because they were acting silly. So talk to your pro. Talk to them early and get a little bit of advice and then listen to them. Didn't do that. Document your deal. Last night in Calgary, we were talking about Shale Rothman, our lawyer, our RAIN lawyer in Toronto, who says, if it isn't in writing, it doesn't exist. If it isn't in writing, it doesn't exist. These guys needed what? A joint venture agreement, a contract, a co-owner's agreement, something that set out what their deal was. And it wouldn't even have to have been really too complicated. What if they had had a one-pager handwritten that says, we three amigos agree to buy this property. We think we can develop it and make some money. We're one-third, one-third, one-third on it. What if they had that signed by the three of them? They would have been way better off. So talk to your pro. Ask if you need to do something else. Document your deal. Now, what if they woke up in the middle of this thing as Joe's making his noises about the house and then on, but let's say it's at the house stage. I think I own 100% of the house and the land. And they're going, that's not right, Joe. It's one-third, one-third, one-third. What could they have done at that point? They could, at the minimum, have sent an email off to Joe or made sure all the conversations were by email. Joe, what are you talking about? We're one-third, one-third, one-third on this. Joe comes back and says whatever he says, and you establish an email thread that covers your position and says something about who you are in the deal. Even if you didn't do anything at the beginning, you could have tried to recover that as you roll along. And, as a little sideline, if you have a deal that's in writing and it's changing, make sure that you get those changes documented as well. Don't let somebody change how it's going, you guys follow along with it, and then at the end of the deal, somebody will say, oh, well, you amended it by your actions. So do email threads, do whatever it takes to get a little documentation to support your position. Help yourself out there. Register your interest on title. What could our member have done in this case? He didn't get on the title when they bought. Put a caveat on there. Put a caveat that says, I, Rain member, have a beneficial interest pursuant to a joint venture agreement. Then the lawyers and everybody else would have had to come through him when they're selling and distributing money. They couldn't have done what they done without coming through him. Next, don't wait. Time doesn't improve. It just gets worse. It never gets better. Okay, I'm going to ask the question to you guys. Who has had a situation in their investing career or their personal life or their job where something's going wrong and you don't deal with it and you wait? In my experience, when I do that, it always gets worse. It never gets better. So jump on it, take charge of it, and don't let it consume and ruin your deal, because waiting does not help you. And lastly, when the lawyer was talking to them about at the end of the mediation, in fact, Joe had some paperwork and the judge would likely see it more Joe's way. We've talked about this before because it's a basic item. I'm a lawyer. I hate lawsuits. It's the stupidest way to solve things ever invented. It's great for us, you know, with people. Lots of lawyers do that full time all the time. They just go to court. But it is stressful. It is expensive. It is time consuming. It is not guaranteed. And the worst part, I think, is even when my clients win their lawsuits, they go, Barry, man, that didn't feel good. I do not feel good about this, even when they win. So it's a horrible way to solve problems. Don't let yourself get to that situation. So there you go. One tale for tonight that has seven errors in it. Seven basic things that our member didn't pay attention to cost them $400K.
Thanks for listening to Barry McGuire's Tales from the Trenches. Get the inside scoop on real estate investing from one of Canada's foremost real estate lawyers. To print this tale, and for more valuable investing insights, go to www.barrymaguire.ca.